where we left last week, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Will you go there? I'm doing a little mini series for those that are keeping track of the DVDs and CD. Put this message with last week's message, would you please? And turn to Matthew 1 and 21. That was the text of last week. Last week we preached on five blossoms from the Lord's family tree. And we use our text verse at Matthew 1 and 21. And I want you to go back there today. Then I want you to get your hand and turn over to John's Gospel. We're going to move there in a moment. To John's Gospel, to chapter 3. I want you to go to John's Gospel, chapter 3. And just kind of lay your finger there. I'm not going to read from there, but I want you to lay your hand there because that's where I'm going next. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Father, I pray now that you'll help me. I pray for any sinner that is here today that they'll get saved. Lord, we never know what's going to happen in this world. We just witnessed that this week. It may be us next. And it pays to be ready. I pray right now you'll put your hand on this preacher. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to John 3. But as you're turning, Brother Clifford McKay taught the Sunday school class out of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And he went on and said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If some of you want to outline the Gospel of John, you'll do it this way. This is a way. Chapter 1, you can write down, Jesus is the wonderful Word. And then chapter 2 through 11, you'll see Jesus' wonderful works. And then chapter 12 through 18, you see Jesus' wonderful ways. And then chapter 19 through 21, you see Jesus' wonderful will. But today, I am going to concentrate on seven particular instances that Jesus came to seven different people in between chapter number 3 and chapter number 11. And I want to bring you a thought, Jesus saves. And I will tell you this while I'm preaching. This message will include every sin and every sinner and every person in this room. As he stepped in the volume of their life, he's willing to step in the volume of your life. As he came and changed their circumstance, he's willing to come and change your circumstance. So with me being your guide and the Holy Spirit your usher, let's look first at chapter 3. Now, I'm telling the story, but I want you to kind of follow me in there. I'm not going to read all the verses. If you're not familiar, you can follow them in there and I'll tell them to you. But there's a man in chapter 3 named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night. He was a religious man. The Bible said he was a Pharisee. Very religious. You say, how religious? They paid their tithe faithfully. They fasted faithfully. They were articulate in the old scripture. They were very faithful to do the rituals of the law. They were, in our churches, would be the fundamental independent, strong, radical believers that we have in our church. They were that kind. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Now, some people say he came by night, and this is probably the reason. It's because he's a Pharisee. And coming to get advice from Jesus wouldn't really go along real well with his church doctrine. And that is probably the reason. But I'll give you an application. If you come to Jesus, you'll be coming at the darkest time in your life. You'll be coming when the Holy Ghost of God shows you that you're a lost, dying sinner, ready to plunge into hell. And the Holy Spirit will come to you and drag your soul over hell and give you a glimpse of Calvary. That's when you'll come. Let me say this to you first of all. Jesus coming to Nicodemus reminds us of those that are disqualified by sin. You said, what disqualified him? His religion. Ladies and gentlemen, religion will not take you to heaven. Being a Baptist will not take you to heaven. Being faithful to this church and being a member of Taze Valley Baptist Church will not take you to heaven. I'll tell you this, that will disqualify you from heaven if you've never been born again. Let me say also, taking the sacraments will not take you to heaven. There are some people that today, as sincere as you are, they're in church. Somebody is representing them. A potentate is representing them. And they have confessed their sins. And he's going to eat a bread and believe in transubstantiation. And believe that bread is literally the body of Christ. And Christ is going to die today. And then he's going to drink the cup. And as sincere as you are. And because of transubstantiation, that cup will turn in to the blood of Christ. And their sins will be forgiven. And they will be replenished. And they'll be continuing to be a believer. But I say to you, though they're sincere, that alone disqualifies you to be a Christian. You may have entered the waters of baptism. This morning I tell you, if you didn't get saved by the grace of God before you entered the tub, that disqualifies you from being a Christian. You may be here and say, Preacher Smith, I was taught to be saved and the evidence of me being saved was speaking in a new tongue. And I'm not lambasting those that speak in tongues. That's not my agenda this morning. But I want to tell you, it isn't grace plus baptism plus speaking in tongues. If that's what your salvation is based on, then that disqualifies you from going to heaven. If there's another religion that believes you need to be converted and then immediately taken to the creek and be baptized and then immediately come up to the church and then wash your feet, or you will not go to heaven, I say to you, listen to me carefully. You can go and do that kind of repentance. Follow that instruction and go down to the water. It might be midnight. And come back and get your feet washed. But if you were not washed in the blood before you did all that ignorance, you're going to die and go to hell. Because that disqualifies you from going to heaven. May I say to you, you can have all good works. You might believe your good works will outweigh your bad works. But I'll tell you this, if that's what you believe, you're going to die and plunge and go to hell without hope. And there's no hope for you. But I want you to know my Jesus came into the realm of Nicodemus' life for one reason, to deliver him from religion and let him have all fashioned salvation. Woo! Number two, turn your page to chapter 4. Lord have mercy. I got more. By the way, one of these days I'm going to preach all seven. These will be seven sermons. But I'm only doing 7 points in one sermon. Number one, Jesus comes to those that are disqualified by sin. Number two, we find a lady. If you read John's Gospel chapter 4, there's an interesting statement in it. Can I take it to you? Just follow me in the first few verses. This really, 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 really floats my boat. It said he must needs go through Samaria. You might say, where is Samaria? Samaria right now is the West Bank. When you go visit Israel, like the people went with me, we did not go into Samaria. It's fenced off. Jews did not go to Samaria because Samaritans were half Jew and half Gentile. They were dogs. But Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. How many of you are, oh Lord, I'm about to run. How many of you are about to ready to shout because there was a day in your life. Jesus said, I must go to Denny McGrew's house. I must go to Jeff Miller's house. I must go to Greg Shoemate's house. I must go to Aubrey's house. I must needs go that way. I'm telling you this morning, I'm glad he came. Walking by my house one day in chapter 4, he's coming and talking to a woman. If chapter 1 means he's coming and talking to those that are disqualified by sin, chapter 4 must be talking about him coming to those that are dissatisfied with sin. You say, how you know she was dissatisfied? Well, number one, she was coming at the well at noontime. That's the hottest day of time of day. But the reason she was coming, she knew nobody else would be there. Because she had already been married 5 times. And she was currently living with somebody in sin. By the way, that one religion that believes baptism for salvation, that usually has churches up on top of a hill, they believe if you've been divorced, that's the unpardonable sin and you're lost and you're on your way to hell. By the way, they're lost. That's crazy. Because I want to tell you something. This woman right here been married 5 times. And living with somebody. And I want to tell you this. I want to speak on her behalf a minute. She was dissatisfied by sin. You know why? Somebody asked me, why do you think she was married 5 times and then living with somebody now? What caused her to be married 5 times? She wasn't satisfied. And I'm going to tell you what I got out of it. It had to be she didn't want to be alone. Ain't nobody with any sense would be married 5 times. And go through 5 mother-in-laws. And then be living with somebody. No. Some of you have maybe went through multiple marriages. I, dear God, am not standing as your judge. Some of you may be living with somebody this morning. I'm not standing as your judge. It may be that alcohol is what you are being satisfied with because nothing's satisfying you. It may be that you're on pills or on some kind of drug or smoking marijuana and doing something more addictive and you're just trying to be satisfied. Maybe you've got a kid, a child that's doing that kind of thing. I know it's easy to just give up on them and it's easy to just say, you ain't worth a nickel. Don't do that. Because Jesus loves them. And he comes to those that are dissatisfied by sin. He came to that woman, he said, give me a drink. She said, well, ain't no Jew going to ask me to give you a drink. This is just John Smith's little paraphrase. And he looked at her and he said, honey, the well of water that I give you will spring up to everlasting life. I want you to know she came to the well and came to that earthly well with her water pot. But you got saved by the grace of God and left with a well. I tried everything to satisfy myself. I tried those sins that people try to satisfy myself. In my 10 years, I tried them all. I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool. It wasn't cool. It was stupid. It wasn't cool to get a beer. It's not cool to drink liquor. It's not cool to smoke dope. It's not cool to live in a bad relationship. It's just not cool. I'll tell you what's cool is being saved. I'll tell you what's cool is loving Jesus. I'll tell you what'll get you high is Jesus. I'll tell you what'll make you satisfied is Jesus. Somebody help me right there.
Amen.
Lord God, ain't nothing. Listen to me. You look at me, sir. You look at me, man. Hey, some of you raised your hand the last couple of weeks. I'm telling you right now, the only thing that will satisfy you is Jesus. The only thing that will help you is Jesus. The only thing that will relieve you is Jesus. The only thing that will move for you is Jesus. I better go on if I'm going to get this thing done. Chapter 4 also, verse 46 through 54. There's a story. Maybe you're not as familiar with it. By the way, a lot of people overlook this. Jesus did his first miracle in Cana of Galilee. But here in this gospel, it said he came back to Cana. Not to turn the water into wine. But there was somebody there, a nobleman, who besought Jesus to heal his boy. And Jesus said, except ye and see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Nobleman said, sir, come down here. My child died. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy son liveth. Whew! Not only does Jesus save those that are disqualified by sin and those that are dissatisfied by sin, he saves those that are deceived by sin. I want to give you something here. Some of my Baptist friends have got it all wrong. Aubrey, they've almost went into what I call lordship salvation. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to clear something up with y'all. They've went to legalism. And I want to clear something up on that matter this morning. Legalism is not the same as separation. There are people that live a closer life than I do, that have better standards than I do, that are not legalists. They just have more of an extreme view. It becomes legalism when that view says you have to do it to be saved. There's some of our Baptist churches. If the people don't dress just the way they think they ought to dress, they're not saved. Little Scale and Joe and I was down in North Carolina. I won't tell the whole story. If you ever travel for Lois, it's an experience. That's all I'll say. If I can't be embarrassed, she will. She said to me, she said, Pastor, I know we're going to get out here real quick. You've got to get home. But I got to put my jeans on. I don't care. I don't care if she had her short shorts on. It didn't matter to me just as long as it wasn't too short. But, I walked down the aisle. And you know how people are. We're in a big tent. We're in a big tent. Here comes this brother, grabs me by the arm. And there may be these ladies here in slacks today. Please don't take that wrong because I'm not again you. He come to, and I don't think you're lost either. He come to me, he said, see that girl over in the middle? I said, yeah, she looks like a real nice lady, got a Bible. He said, I think she's going to hell. I said, well, do you know her? He said, no. But she got britches on. I thought, oh, Lord God, how many of y'all agree with me? That's pitiful. I want to tell you something, that's pitiful. I want to tell you what, there's one sin that will take you to hell, and that's unbelief. And I don't call that a sin anyhow. Amen. Everybody said amen, but I'm saying it myself. Bunch of ridiculous stuff. There's people going to hell today because a bunch of people preaching stupidity. Amen. But I'll tell you what, some diseases. Some of you came here with the disease of an alcohol problem. Some of you have come here with a disease of a broken marriage. Some of you have come here with a disease of lack of trust. There's some of you come here, you've been popping pills they're not helping you. You're diseased by sin. Can I tell you something? There's somebody that wants to enter your life this morning. He wants to come into the sphere and say, I'm Him. I'll save you. I'll satisfy you. And your disease as you are, I'll make you whole. Number four. Turn to chapter 5. Oh, there's a group of people. How many has been to the pool of Bethsaida? Raise your hand. If you've been, how many has been to the pool of Bethsaida? Yes. How many of you say, it wasn't what you expected? It was a place that had 5 porches. By the way, give you a little extra shouting ground here. Chapter 5 is where we're at now. It had 5 porches. Well, 5's a number of grace. There's a man laying there, disabled, cannot get to the pool. And every once in a while, the pool's waters were troubled. And the first one that hit the water got healed. He was laying there every day, watching it to get troubled. But see, he had nobody to get him to the pool. And 5 porches means grace. I'll tell you what will get you to the pool this morning. The grace of God. I'll tell you what will deliver you this morning. It's the grace of God. You say, Preacher Smith, what does he represent? He represents those that are disabled by sin. I don't want to upset nobody here this morning. You couldn't get to God if you wanted to get to God. Unless God wants you to be to Him. I don't think there's a person in this room that would want to die and go to hell. If you could mark it off, you'd say, before I die, I am not going to hell. Who would want to live a life like I live and die and burn? Nobody. But I tell you, see, you got a problem. You're over here with an issue. And you're in a bed. And you're disabled. And you can't get to help. But I got good news. Help can get to you. See, help came into the world. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them who are under the curse of the law. Help has came. Hope has came. Rescue has came. Guess what? He comes to those that are disabled by sin. I'm going to tell you the fact of it. I did not want to be saved. Bill Lamont's right back here right now, and he knows this story is true. He's witnessing to me. And I love Bill. Respected him. But ask him who can make him madder than anybody in America. Ask him. When I found out Eternal Security was Eternal Security before him, he was mad. He'd get out of the state road truck, kick the tires, run around the thing, kick dust, just madder than the devil at me. Am I telling the truth? He witnessed to me. He said, there's a man up there named Jim Gannot. Jim's now in heaven. Jim died of the disease my mother passed. He said, I guarantee you he can answer every question you got, you give me. And Bill couldn't answer my questions. And by the way, I wasn't asking him in the right attitude anyway. I was just trying to trick him up and embarrass him. You know what I did that night? I just went to church to spite him. I wanted to scare him half to death. I got my biggest polka dot shirt I could find. That's when they were in style. I still got that thing, by the way. That's when they were in style. And I had a pack of marbles here, and half of them sticking out on purpose so somebody could say something to me. And I walked in there, and I had my fro. I had my hair. I didn't use a comb. I used a fork. And I had it all boosted out as far as I could get it. You said, why'd you do that? Just to spike that bunch. I hope somebody say something about my cigarettes, and I hope somebody say something about my fro, because I was going to let them have it. And I done told Bill, if that guy come across me, I was going to bust his mouth. Now, how many of y'all think I was looking for Jesus? How many of you think I was on my way to heaven? No, I come back here and I sat down, pushed my cigarettes up a little, and loosened one out a little bit so they could think I might pull it out while I was in church. One time I did pull it out and put it up my lips just to see if I'd aggravate somebody. But I didn't know they was going to play dirty. You said, what'd they do? Some elderly gentleman, Dewey Little, Dewey, yeah, got up and said, I just feel led to have prayer. Hey, some unusual stuff here. You telling me? Sitting back there 6'5", 385 pounds with a fro and Marlboro sticking out. Yeah, there's something else there. He brought all the older people up and they started praying. Then he brought all the young'uns up and they started praying. Well, you know what that means, because there ain't very many sinners go to church on Wednesday night. He said, if there's anybody else wants to come up here, you can come. And I don't know what happened, boys, but something smacked me from another world. I did not come to go to the altar. I came to bust somebody. But guess what happened? The high sheriff came and rescued me and took this old disabled sinner. Next thing I knew, I was up there on the altar. The guy I came to whip was leading me to Jesus. Amen. I got saved by the grace of God. The birds sang Amazing Grace. My life changed that day. 6 months later, I become a Baptist preacher. 35 years ago, I became your pastor. I tell you what, there's a God that can save those that are disabled by sin.
Amen. Amen.
Let me hurry. Number 5, chapter 8, 1 through 10. You're going to meet somebody taken in adultery. And they're going to stone her. Jesus came and sat down before the woman as her judge. Then he done something else. He stooped down to her as her Savior. And he wrote on the ground. And by the way, if you take somebody in adultery in those days, you got to have the one that committed adultery with them. Somebody always asks me, what did he write? I know what he wrote. He wrote who had been with her on the ground. That's why the crowd scattered. Then he standed before her. Ain't just the way he does. He comes and you're a sinner. Then he stoops down lower than you were, and he came where we were. Amen. To save us. Now he stands and says, I'm your friend. Where are your accusers? Go! And sin no more. Woo! Hallelujah. Then chapter 9, hurry. I'm going on there. 1 through 25 tells a story. A man that was born blind. Now I'll tell you how dumb his disciples were. How many think this is a done statement? If somebody's born blind, okay? Born blind. Look at me. Born blind. How many think this is dumb? Who sinned? Him or his parents? Born blind? Evidently, they believed in reincarnation. Or something stupid. I could just imagine looking at him saying, tell me again why I chose y'all. Because every once in a while, I know he looks at me and some of these deacons and some of our preachers, tell me again why I'm using you. And tell me again why. Listen, maybe we ain't nothing but a bunch of dumb boxes of rocks. And before you start bragging and taking any glory for what God does, you ain't nothing but a dumb box of rocks. You act to say something stupid. I'm trying to get through before I say something stupid today. But I tell you what, this old boy came to Jesus. Jesus, I'm hurrying. Jesus got him and done something you wouldn't do. But it's great. He said to him, first of all, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. That boy's blind. That's a significant statement because, see, Jesus comes to those that are darkened by sin. He spit on the ground. That sounds bad. Then he took a spit and took a dust. By the way, the man was made out of dust and that was his spit. And by the way, if you want to know something, you want to check somebody's DNA, they're going to swallow you in the mouth and get some spit. So he took his nature and put it in that man's nature and made a mud pie. Then he put the mud pie on that man's face and said, go down to the pool of Siloam. Now, I believe this. Doesn't say anybody took the man. Man was blind. I personally believe Jesus laid it down there. Now, that's just mythology. I have no way of proving it, but it does make good preaching. Now, the boy got his eyesight. You know what happened right as soon as he got his eyesight? Here comes the legalist. What happened to you? Just raking over the coals. Done the second time. I want you to tell me about that man. Then if that wasn't enough, he brought the boy's parents. By the way, the last hope you got on in this world, except your God, is your parents. Right. And the parents got up there. What happened to your boy? I want to know all about it. And the parents said, y'all read this, y'all find this out. The parents looked at him and said, hey, boy, he's of age. And he speak for himself. You know what his parents done to him? Threw him under the bus. That's bad when your mama throws you under the bus. Sister Reddy, if you ought to throw Dave under the bus, he's getting fatter and he's going to get sugar diabetes. You ought to talk to him. He's going to go eat Mexican in a minute and he's going to get sugar diabetes. I can see it coming on him right now. You said, what'd you just do? I just threw a deacon under the bus. Then they brought that man back and they said for the third time. Now I want to tell you, it's kind of bad. I know people done me like that. They said, it can't be, that boy got saved. Threw me. Brought him back to them, started lecturing him. He said, boys, stop it. Only thing I know, I don't know much. I don't know all about that guy. But I know I was once blind. But now I see. I want to tell you, I was once on my way to hell. I was once blinded by the God of this world. But now I see. I want to tell you, I was once loving cigarettes. Now I love kissing my wife. I was once loving booze. But now I traded in for a Bible. Amen. Lastly, I'm done. Lord God. Chapter 11. I want you to go there. Chapter 11 tells a story about Lazarus. He got sick, and the Lord waited a few days. Then he got wind, and Jesus just told him, boys, he ain't sick, he's dead. Dead! He waited 4 days. 4 days, they say, that's when you start corrupting. Jesus came and Martha and Mary tried to be strong. And they said, Lord, if you'd just been here, our brother would have Our brother made it. You'd have healed him. Jesus, I'm the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then they all were weeping. And he went over to the tomb of Lazarus. Now there is a response. Now listen to me, please, ladies and gentlemen. I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I also believe in the responsibility of man. First of all, man's got to preach for you to be saved. Second of all, you've got to come when you get called, or you won't be saved. But here's what Jesus done. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. You said, why didn't he just say, come forth? If he said, come forth, the whole graveyard have came forth. But he's a personal God. He came to those that were dead by sin. You said, how lost were you? I was dead to sin. That's pretty lost. But he came in my life. How many believe after hearing these 7 points that Jesus could save anybody in this room, any situation in this room? There ain't a situation in this room that Jesus couldn't take care of. How many Christians believe that? Raise your hand if you believe that.